If you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, there is a verse that has just been resonating in my spirit. It's one that the Lord had worked into my heart a good number of years ago through a personal experience that I had. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Years ago, I was living in Washington, D.C. I had been sent there on behalf of the word that my dad had concerning the D.C. area. Was living in an apartment and it was my first year in the D.C. area, was primarily spending my time in prayer. And my dad stopped by one time and he said, "Nancy, you are to begin a fellowship." And I thought, "Oh, my dad." But then he came and he said it again. And then he said it again. And the third time he said it to me, with my dad, if he says something once, well, maybe it's a thought that was flying by. But if he says it twice and then three times, and I can remember he left my house. He went to Florida and left me sitting there because at that time, you would have to know my background. I was so timid, I would not even give a prayer request in a small group. I would visit one-on-one, but in a group, I was very quiet. But it upset me that he was saying that to me. And I can remember thinking, well, my dad is getting older and, you know, I've worked for him and he's been a spiritual impact in my life. But if he's going to start saying things like this to me, then I'm going to have to break our relationship with him. And as I'm sitting there thinking that, a sister in the Lord, she called me on the phone. She didn't say hello. She didn't say anything. She just said, "Nancy, has anyone ever said anything to you about pastoring?" Well, I couldn't lie, and it opened up my heart to consider it. I went up to the Bible school for a week of prayer. In that week of prayer, I had actually been invited as a speaker. I could tell you more stories about that. But I thought at the end of this week, we'll either know that this is not my calling or... But the Lord moved powerfully, touched me powerfully, and when I came home, I knew that this was something that I was going to do. Having been up to the Bible school for the week of prayer, I heard of another meeting that was going to be taking place. It was called an upper room gathering. It's not affiliated with any ministry that any of you would know. But I thought, wow, the week of prayer was so powerful. Now I'm going to go to this other meeting. And it's going to be just the icing on top of the cake. You know, it's just going to give me that extra touch that I need as I'm taking this step of faith. Well, the meetings were good, but they were taking very, very... heavy offerings. Have you ever been in a meeting like that where they really, really are putting pressure upon the congregation to give up their finances? And in this particular meeting, I had invited another pastor, a couple who was ministering in the Bronx, to go with me. And I was sitting there. Now, I had just received a powerful touch from God up at the Bible school during the week of prayer. And I felt like there was a holy calling. There was like a fresh touch of God on my life. And I'm sitting in this meeting, and what they were doing is as people put money in the offering, the people who put money in the offering came and stood on the platform and looked at the people still sitting in the congregation. So if you were still sitting in the congregation, you had all these people on the platform looking at you. And the Lord just caused me to know that I could not participate in that offering. And I can remember I'm sitting there and my Bible happened to be open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. My husband, he went to the restroom, but I was sitting there reading my Bible. And it got down to about five of us who were still in our seats. The couple I invited was behind me, and there were like three other ladies, and there was me. And I was sitting here, and I was just caught up in this chapter in Timothy, where Paul is speaking of his ministry that was by the will of God. And he was speaking to Timothy as a son, telling him to remember that impartation that he had received and encouraging him to stir up the faith that was inside of him. And Paul told Timothy, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm skipping down to verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me, in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in thee. Well, I'm sitting there, and I still remember this preacher. I think I can say this because Texas is a big state, but he was from Texas. He had a microphone in his hand, a loud booming voice with a drawl, and everyone's up front now except for maybe about five of us. And I'm really caught up into this chapter as I'm reading the Bible because there's something that had just been entrusted to me, a calling. And the Lord was speaking to me that I could never participate in that type of pressure on God's people. And that I was not to be ashamed, but that I was to hold fast to the sound words, to the teaching that I had received through the years. And as I was reading these verses and a standard was just going into my life and an understanding of what God was requiring of me, this man with his loud booming voice came right up into my face and he said, "Can't you even put one of your buttons in this offering plate?" And I just kept reading my Bible. Afterwards, I was going to go to the leadership and let them know that I was sorry that I couldn't participate in the offering, but was I free to stay, or would they like me to leave? Because you never go in a ministry and rebel. You always submit to the authority of that ministry. But I got a phone call and there was a situation, and I was called away. And it was in my heart to speak to that person later who was over, not the one doing the offering, but the one who was over the ministry, and I didn't have opportunity to do it. The Lord took him home. But this verse, as I was sitting there, you know, peer pressure can be very strong. People pressure can be very strong. But we're living in a day and in an hour where we need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. We need to know what God's word. Sometimes I'm going to speak on giving. But some of the best teaching that you'll ever find on giving is right in 2 Corinthians. But our giving is to be planned. It's to be proportionate to our income. There's guidelines all through Scripture that tell us how we are to give. There's times that the Lord will speak to us to give more. But that's not because you're pressuring me. It's because God is speaking to my heart. There's an understanding of God's word. We need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. And we're living in an hour where so much pressure is coming from so many directions that would challenge our values. That if we cannot move beyond the fear of man into the obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be able to stand as the witness and as the testimony that God is calling us to be in the hour that we are living in. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Luke 22 speaks of certain things that are going to precede the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And verse 26 of Luke 22 speaks of men's hearts failing them for fear. But yet God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that fear that the media and so many agents are trying to implant today, that doesn't come from the Spirit of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We understand that certain things have to happen before the Son of Man comes in his glory and power. But he's coming in his glory and power. What I'm looking for is his glory and his power. And the scripture says that when all these other things begin to happen, we are to look up. We are to lift up our heads. Because our redemption draws nigh. God has not given us a spirit of fear. The Lord has said, look up. I am giving you power. I am giving you love. I am giving you sound thoughts, right thinking, the mind of Christ, a sound mind. There is an anointing that's being released for the time, for the day, for the hour that we're living in that will carry us through the days ahead. That is available to us if we will open up our hearts to receive it. I heard a preacher say recently, don't be surprised if sinners act like sinners. We shouldn't be surprised at some of the things that the world is doing. We not only have what Scripture tells us is going to precede the Lord coming in His glory and in His power, but we have an understanding, but for the grace of God, if we would not have received salvation, if we had not been given a new life in Christ Jesus, what would we be doing? The Adamic nature, mankind, man apart from a Savior. Isaiah 60 tells us that darkness will cover the earth and great darkness the people. We're seeing that. We're seeing that. It amazes me, some of the things that we're hearing and the way people are thinking nowadays. Great darkness. But I love those buts in Scripture. But the Lord shall arise in you. His glory shall be seen upon you. I will glorify the house of my glory. That's us. We're that building not built together with stones. And in the midst of this darkness, thinking that makes no sense, there's an expectation each and every one of us can have of the glory of God being seen, of the glory of God arising within us as never before. We need to be aware of what's happening and what's out there and cast our vote where we can. But yet we're not called to live in that realm alone. The Scripture tells us to look up. Psalms 5:3 says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. In the morning speaks of early. First thing, right in the beginning of things. Not when all else fails, I'll pray. But early, in the morning, I'm going to start my day. Whatever I'm going into, I'm going to go into that first. Lifting up my voice to the Lord. Looking up, looking to the Lord for His direction. Psalms 143:8 says, cause me. I love that word, cause. I pray that, Lord, cause me. Cause me, Lord. That's speaking of the grace of God. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk according to my statutes. But Psalms 143:8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee, not my bank accounts, not my retirement plan, not all these other things that we find comforting at times, but in thee do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Cause me to know the way where I should walk, for I lift my soul up unto you. Luke 22, other passages as well, tells us of things that we can expect as we approach the day of the Lord. But yet we're told very clearly in Scripture that as these things begin to happen, we are to look up. We are to lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us that the Lord is coming to be seen and admired in the saints, in you and in me. As we are entering into this time period, we are called to be or become a witness. That witnessing is not just passing out tracts. It's where the very life of Christ, his heart, his nature, his thoughts, his ways can be seen in and through me, through my life, through my choices, through the decisions that I'm making. I appreciate the word that Dr. Ray shared because Revelation 19 is right here in my notes. But it speaks of the bride making herself ready or arraying herself. The King James said that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The Greek says that she should array herself in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness or the righteous acts or the right choices of the saints. There's, as he said, there's different pressures. But in those pressures, as I'm making my choices according to God's word unto the Lord out of a desire to please him, there's that preparation of my life. I'm arraying myself in that fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 3:5 tells me that that fine linen, that it's the garment of the overcomer. My dad, he used to say, if I'm going to be an overcomer, well, then I need something to overcome. And he'd say, and the Lord is so anxious for me to be an overcomer, he gives me plenty. Some of you feel like that this morning. But as we are arraying ourselves in fine linen, clean and white, as we're making those right choices before the Lord, as we're being clothed in the garment of the overcomer, it tells us in Revelation 2:26 that he that overcomes keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. See, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And as you're making right choices, as you're arraying yourself in this garment of an overcomer, there's an empowering, there's an equipping. Jesus overcame first in the wilderness and then in public ministry. And for many of us, we're dealing with personal circumstances or situations, but it's for a far greater glory. There's a preparing, there's an equipping, there's a clothing. To him that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. If we were to look at Psalms 149, and I love this passage of Scripture, Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. This is telling me that as we're making right choices, we're being arrayed in the garment of the overcomer, there's an empowering that's taking place within our lives. That there's a place of joy. There's a place of rest. And there's a place of function that the Lord is calling us up into. And that's the calling that rests upon my life. I have shared at some of our gatherings the prophetic word that the Lord gave to me, but it has to do with a corporate gathering together of a people, not known to man, but known to God, who will come into that exercise of authority as a group and become a very part of the outworking of the hand of God. That's why we have these parousia gatherings. It's why I take our times of worship very, very seriously. I always look for that corporate anointing, that corporate flow in whatever way it comes. That's why we have the prayer chapel today. But that gathering together of an overcoming people through whom God is going to speak and through whom God is going to move. We saw a function like that through Reese's House ministry. There's other testimonies where just a little core of people praying, but yet they left their imprint in world events. It's where God is calling us. I believe that's why we're experiencing stillness in our meeting. I've noticed it this last two times because the Lord's bringing us to that place of quietness in Him so that we can hear, so that we can begin to move in new ways. Some of us aren't comfortable with the quietness. But yet as we learn to just move with the Lord in the stillness, we will also be able to move with Him in the shout in greater ways. There is a place of rest. There is a position of prayer that is available, that the Lord is calling us up into. As I learn to practice His presence daily, some people say, well, I don't need to come apart. I'm fellowshipping with the Lord all day. We still need quality times alone and apart with the Lord. But just our times apart won't carry much weight if we're not also learning to live every moment of every day in His presence. But as I'm learning to practice His presence every moment of every day, I'm aware of His presencing. I'm quick to know if I've grieved Him. I'm sensitive to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. As I'm setting apart quality times to be with the Lord, that's what the house of prayer is all about. It's a place apart. It's a place quiet. And I can see when people come, because we're used to the hustle and the bustle and the running, start to quiet down. Oh, you don't have a TV here? Well, I have one hid in a corner in case something happens significant on the news. But no, I don't have a TV for daily use. We have worship music going. I find I get pretty good news right on my cell phone, that I can be well aware of what's happening without listening to all the arguments about it. I can hear more in less time. But a place set apart where we can get quiet, away from the distractions, the running around. We've gotten so that if we have to go into town, we'll say, oh, let's go tomorrow instead. Because as you get used to that stillness and that quietness, you notice it when you get back in the hustle and bustle. But practicing his presence daily, setting apart quality times to be with him. From that life of prayer, scripture says to pray without ceasing. Well, the only thing that can hinder me from praying is my attitude at times. Not mowing the grass, not vacuuming the floors, not washing the dishes. We still need those quality times apart. But from a life of prayer will come times of intercession. And I believe that our times of worship and intercession are keys to the end time intervention of God, to the releasing of his power and the releasing of his glory. And I think sometime at the prayer chapel where we can have a little more unlimited time, we're just going to set up a weekend of worship where we can have worship and prayer for the weekend and just worship till we're done. Take the time to wait on the Lord and spend time in his presence and just have more time. But true worship, you know, worship comes from my heart. It's not just a catchy song or some good rhythm. But true worship, the first time you see worship mentioned in scripture is when Abraham was offering Isaac before the Lord. That was everything in Abraham's life, the promises of God. He was laying it all down on the altar, and he worshiped God. Through the inner dealings of God, through the inner working of God, there comes the releasing of a song. There comes a worship. And I believe that true worship and intercession birthed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have had times where somebody will be saying, well, you need to pray this way, and you need to pray that way, and you need to pray the other way. And that's good. And we can come into agreement in unity. But there is also an intercession that's birthed within the heart by the Holy Spirit according to the will of God that comes only by the Holy Spirit. And there's worship and intercession that the Lord would yet bring forth as he releases his glory and his power in and through his people. I have a little testimony here with me. I wasn't sure if I would share it, but have any of you heard of Martha Wing Robinson, the book Radiant Glory? Okay. This was actually in 1901 when there was a tremendous fire in Davenport, Iowa. And it began in a lumber yard, but then it started to sweep across the city. And she was sent home from work. The fire was actually coming in the direction of her home. She couldn't think of anything that she could do. It was like a hopeless situation. The fire was getting out of control. They had tried to make furrows in the ground to stop the fire, but the fire was just leaping over and spreading. And she said she looked on her bed and she saw her bank book and she saw her Bible. And it seemed like at that moment the only thing she needed was her Bible. And she went out on the porch to sit down. And as she sat there, she said that the words of Isaiah 43:2 came to her, "Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And she realized that this was God's word to her. And she raised her hand, See, when she had that word from God, now I think today we would have had all kinds of people telling us how to pray and what to say and what to do and taking authority. But when she had that word from God, she realized she had a word from God, and she raised her hand toward the threatening, uncontrolled flames, and she claimed the promise by an act of faith. And at that very instant, the wind changed, and the flames went towards the river, and the fire burned itself out. And in the newspaper the next day, it talked about this fire that was uncontrolled that suddenly took a shift. Well, she knew that not only had her home been spared, but that city was spared. But see, a lady who knew how to hear, and once she heard the word of the Lord, faith to speak that which God said. This is where God is calling us. It's an overcoming people, arraying themselves in fine linen, clean and white. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind, who he's empowering as we come into that place of surrender. Everything that we know, everything that we think, to being able to hear and obey. From a life of prayer will come times of intercession. You know, there's times where I have been so glad I was in my car because of the intercession.
It was loud.
But you know, intercession can also be quiet. That was just the word where she spoke that verse with authority to those flames. Not where we're in any particular pattern or format or habit. You know, we can form habits. God moved through us this way one time, so now we think that's the way it's got to be. But if we learn to just flow with the Holy Spirit, as we learn to hear and speak forth his word with faith, I believe that worship and intercession is key to end time intervention, even such as what she experienced in her town at that time. I believe it was 1901. Look up. There's a position of prayer and of faith that the Lord is calling us up into. Look up. I know what everybody's saying. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look to the Lord. What is he saying? What is he doing? Yes, we need to be aware of the gross darkness. But there's another promise that we have of his glory and his power coming and being seen even on us, in us, through us, as he glorifies his house. Yes, we're believing for God to keep us. I have some extra canned goods. I have some gallons of water. I prefer frozen food, but every now and again I eat my canned goods so they don't get too old. Then I buy some more. We're believing for God to keep us. But more than that, we need to go a step farther where even though we're doing a few little common sense things, that's not our whole focus. That's not our whole passion. How am I going to survive? Me, me, me. But where our passion becomes that God might use us, that we might be that witness, that we might be that testimony in the day that we live in. The Lord said, I have given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's open up our hearts to receive it, that it might be fully manifested in our lives, in our situations, in our circumstances. There's an end time anointing, I call that, for lack of better words. But there's an end time anointing. There's an impartation, there's an enabling grace. There's a strength, there's a power. There's a love that supersedes our love, our ability to love. And that impartation is here today. Would you just come to the keyboard again, Rachel? That impartation is here today. That anointing is here today. That grace is here today. You know, the scripture tells us that we walk in newness of life by that same power that raised Christ up from the dead. That's pretty awesome. That's the strength you and I have to overcome. That same power that raised Christ up from the dead is the same power that I have to make right choices. That's amazing. And Thessalonians tells me that I have been sanctified wholly. My spirit, my soul, my body has been sanctified unto the Lord for his purposes so that I can stand blameless before his throne. I have that power of his resurrection inside of me, lifting me. I don't have to fumble. I don't have to fall. I don't have to go around the same mountain year after year after year, struggling with this and struggling with that. Because the overcomer lives inside me. He's given me his resurrection life, his power. He's given me the mind of Christ. His enabling grace, his enabling strength. He sanctified my life with a holy calling that I might live unto him and be found blameless. There's an anointing for the day and the hour that we live in. There's an anointing, an empowering. His love, his spirit, his enabling grace like never before, so that we can face what we have to face and do it victoriously. Not through our strength, not through our willpower, but through his strength, through his grace, through his power. May there be some hard times? Well, read your Bible. But I have his grace. His grace is sufficient. I have his power. He's given me a spirit of power. He's given me his love, and he's given me a sound mind. Father, I would ask this morning for your spirit to work within our hearts and within our lives. Lord, I sense your spirit, your presence in such a real way. Lord, I speak a releasing of that end time anointing, your enabling grace, your spirit, your glory within us, your resurrection life, your resurrection power, may it be fully manifested. Lord, in the time and the day that we're living, refresh your people, Lord. Strengthen your people. Bless your people. Empower your people. Let your love just spill all over us. Let your love bubble up inside of us. Release your grace, Lord. Release your grace. Release your anointing, your power, your might. In areas where someone may have been struggling, I'm asking for new grace. New grace, Lord. New power. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us, that you've chosen us, that we were in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, that your love hovers over us, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, that your grace is enough. I believe we're all going to be able to say, the next time the Lord lets me down, it will be the first. And that we'll be able to say it all through eternity. You're so faithful. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, to your people. I thank you, Lord.